Long days and pleasant nights, fellow explorers. With some recent events occurring on the channel, I thought it might be helpful if I would put out a video sort of explaining some things as far as my knowledge goes. So recently, there have been a couple videos that popped up on the channel with strange titles, very different than anything that I normally put out. I did not put them out. I did not upload those videos. I'm not exactly sure where they came from. I can't delete them. I can't hide them. I've been in contact with YouTube, and they're not exactly sure what's going on either. So they're working on that, I guess. They're going to get back to me. But in the meantime, there they sit. And so I don't know if it's some prankster, something like that. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but I've not lost control of my channel. I can still upload, as you've noticed. So I'm going to continue just putting out my normal content unless something drastic happens. But seeing as how these videos are on my channel and they're related to something that I am familiar with, I guess I can explain some things. So, as several people have deduced, they are related, apparently, to the SCP Foundation. And as plenty of people have commented, they're not exactly sure what that means. So I think it's probably a good idea for me to explain what the SCP Foundation is, what the website is, and what people are referring to. And I've printed out a number of things here because I like having stuff printed out, and I'll explain what I can. So to begin with, SCP stands for Secure, Contain, Protect. And there is a website you can go to. It's actually a wiki. And on that site, you'll find thousands of articles. And they will look, something like this. There'll be a number, they'll have a name, often a picture. And then there'll be a bunch of text, usually in sort of a scientific format, discussing various objects, creatures, anomalies, locations, things like that. And this is all run, all these scientific experiments and containment protocols, all that is run by a foundation, the SCP Foundation. So this originally started on the X forum of 4chan, I believe. The very first SCP was number 173, which I don't have printed here, but basically it's a creature that resembles a statue, and if it is not constantly being observed by somebody, it can move, it's quite dangerous. So it requires constant observation in order to prevent it from moving around and, well, killing people. So that was the very first SCP ever listed on 4chan. And so things kind of spiraled out from there as people started to get more and more interested in sort of having this fictional foundation that, it's a lot like Men in Black. And, these shadow governments, these shadowy organizations that kept the normal people safe while they handled all these dangerous paranormal things. It's not exactly a new idea. But the scientific format for all the SCPs and sort of the realistic approach to it is what I think caught a lot of people's interest. And so the SCPs continued coming out. Anybody can submit an SCP to be put on the site. There's over 3,000 now, I think, at this point. And really, there's no canon, you know, to it. Nobody owns SCP. And anybody can write anything contradicting anything that anybody believes about SCP. There is sort of a set of headcanon. There are certain things that people just believe to be, you know, this is how an SCP is written. These are certain conventions that generally people follow. You know, you have the O5s, you have D class, you have the different object classifications, you've got the MTFs, you've got the different groups of interest. And a lot of people follow these when they're writing SCPs, but you don't have to, and anybody can come in and write anything they want. So there's really no canon. I've said that before in relation to the Cthulhu mythos, that anybody can write anything for the Cthulhu mythos, but that's even more so the case for the SCP Foundation. And so it's kind of difficult to do sort of a lore series about SCP, which I know some people have wanted me to do. And I've kind of been against the idea just because with no canon whatsoever, it's hard for me to put out a video saying this is how this is, when somebody could just write a story and be like, nope, I don't like that, that's different. And it's just as valid. But anyways, so there's been a lot of SCPs, and I've been a fan of the SCP universe for quite a while. Way back in the day, I went through and I read the first 1,000. I read the first 1,000 SCPs just in a row. I sort of binged it. And that was back when there was only like 1,200. And so there's some really interesting stuff in the wiki throughout all the SCPs. A lot of it is horror-based. If you're a fan of the Cthulhu mythos and Lovecraftian horror, stuff like that, there's definitely a lot to like in the SCP universe. A lot of it has that sort of fear the unknown kind of quality to it. A lot of the stuff is sort of dangerously horrific, you know, end of the world type stuff. But then there's also a lot of things that take a very different tone. There's definitely some stuff that's not dangerous, that's just sort of weird and fun. So there's a great variation in what the SCP universe can provide. But overall, it's very, very interesting. If you're into science fiction, if you're into sort of horror, mystery, unknown, Lovecraftian, if you're into any of that, I recommend going through and reading some of the highest rated SCPs. But in relation to the videos that we got on our channel, so they both have sort of strange, ominous titles. The title of the first one was The Woe of Ignorant Men, which some people deduced correctly is from SCP-058, which is basically a heart. It's a cow heart that has four legs and it has four tentacles covered in spikes. And these tentacles are very dangerous. This heart can apparently run around and whip these tentacles at speeds in excess of 200 miles per hour. It's extremely hostile. The object class is Keter. I don't know if there's a correct pronunciation for that, but what I've always pronounced in my head is Keter. Basically, there's three general classifications that are used across almost the entire site. There's safe, which is obviously pretty safe. It's not necessarily that the object itself is not a threat. It's just that it's so easy for them to contain that there's almost no threat of it ever breaking out and causing problems. So they classify it as safe because there's really not much concern, or it in itself is not a threat and it's just odd. And so it's contained, but it's really just safe. Then there's Euclid, which is sort of the oddball of classifications. I don't know if there's ever been a specific, like, this is what it means. Euclid is stuff that either could be a threat, or it's not easily classified as safe or keter. It's sort of the middle of the ground where they're not really sure how to classify it a lot of the times. It could be a Euclid. It's sort of the strange thing. But keter, anything that's classified as keter is generally the most dangerous stuff. This is it's a clear threat to human life or otherwise. It can cause end-of-the-world scenarios and generally represents a significant threat that is difficult to contain. So 058, the walking, whipping heart, is definitely keter because it can easily kill a number of people. And it can also talk. And so apparently it talks constantly, no matter what. It never stops talking, and its speech is very strange, doesn't make much sense. And so the quote from the video, the full quote is, "Endless suffering is the woe of ignorant men who never lack to seek the depth of their own hearts and only see the wealth of a poor world suffering to flay its own back in knife wounds of silver and brutal gladness." So, okay, that's cheerful stuff, right? The title of the second video was Desolation of a Simple Mind, which the 058 page only lists a single interview with the heart. So that title is not anywhere in the interview, so whether that title's taken from somewhere else or it's something 058 said elsewhere, I don't know. Either way, it makes for some ominous titles, so there's that. Okay, so I'm gonna try to move through all these references quickly. I don't wanna really make an hour-long video here. But the content of the first video was just, it was pretty short. It's sort of just like almost like a background vocal, pretty scratchy and distant, very deep. And the quote from that was, seven seals, seven rings, seven brides for the Scarlet King. So that line in itself is found on two pages. Very similar titles. That's SCP-231 and SCP-2317. And SCP-231 is actually mostly related to SCP-231-7. So they're very similar numerically. So the quote is first seen in actually a hidden text within the page for 231. So you actually have to go into like the page source to see it. But the full quote is, seven seals, seven rings, seven brides for the Scarlet King. They gather round the natal bed, the foolish and the wise. They fear the child yet to be born, whose voice shall rend the skies. And it goes on from there. But I guess I'll explain 231 real quick. Basically, there was a cult. There was a cult called the Children of the Scarlet King. And a police did a raid on them. And they found seven pregnant girls. I mean, it's hard to say, but it seems like a lot of them were pretty young. And right after they rescued these seven pregnant girls, one of them went into labor and gave birth something. A lot of information on SCP, it's sort of a common trope, is to sort of redact a lot of information so you can't see it. If you look at this, you can see a lot of black bars covering text. So this is, in universe, basically, it's just you don't have access to that information. It's been removed. You can't see it for one reason or another. It's a common trope throughout a lot of SCPs to just sort of be mysterious. You're not allowed to see that. But anyways, so whatever this girl gave birth to apparently caused some sort of an event that resulted in a lot of, at least 100 casualties. And so they took possession of the other six girls. A bunch of the girls are dead. There's only one left alive. And most of them gave birth to an event, a similar event. And basically, with every consecutive birth from each of these girls, it caused a greater, more dangerous event, resulting in more and more casualties. And so, basically, there's only one girl left alive. That's SCP-231-7. She is still pregnant. And they believe that if she ever gives birth, it'll cause an end-of-the-world scenario due to the escalation from the previous births. So whatever this cult did in service of the Scarlet King or whatever, they've set about these events that will cause the end of the world once this girl gives birth. And so that brings us to one of the darkest aspects in the entire SCP universe, and that's Procedure 110 Montauk. So this is carried out, I believe, daily. So it's this procedure that is apparently incredibly horrible. It is never described anywhere. A lot of the information about it is redacted or blacked out. But apparently it's very widely known to be one of the worst things that the SCP Foundation does on a regular basis. It's once every 24 hours. It's only carried out by D-class personnel, or Class D personnel. So D-class are basically generally convicts, basically people that the Foundation takes into employment, sometimes against their will, sometimes people don't miss them. Sometimes I think convicts can agree to become a D-class working for the Foundation in return for a reduced sentence or something like that. Again, there's no canon related to D-class, but to be sure, they're basically expendable personnel that the Foundation throws at some of their problems or in experiments where they don't want to risk actual employees and scientists. D-class are the only ones allowed to carry out 110 Montauk. And what it, like it, it's apparently incredibly brutal and horrible, but it's never described. So it's sort of whatever you want to imagine it is, it's worse. And they also apparently give her an amnestic. They give the girl an amnestic so she forgets about the procedure so that it's worse the next time it happens. And whatever the case, this procedure is carried out every day so that she doesn't give birth to this world-ending creature or whatever. And there have been some other stories written about this where they actually don't carry out this procedure. They just need to make something think that they carry out this procedure because apparently the idea of it is bad enough. You know, it's hard to say. Again, there's no canon, so anybody could write anything they want about this whole procedure and this whole end of the world thing. But it's related to the Scarlet King, who is, again, a mysterious sort of Lovecraftian outer god figure. There have been other tales related to him. I think the most prominent one is Dust and Blood. Basically, he was born at the beginning of time, and he was born alongside a lot of other sort of outer god figures, but he was the only one aware of his existence. And for him, I guess he realized that existence was pain. And if it was painful for him, it would be better if it didn't exist and nothing existed. So it's his goal to basically ensure that nothing exists, which is sort of, whether, you know, your opinions on the quality of that concept as far as writing goes, I'm not going to judge that. But he had seven brides, and they were apparently sealed away. And the seventh bride was sort of the oddball among the group. She was like the opposite of all the other six brides, who represented like destruction and horrible stuff. The seventh bride represented like hope and sort of the overthrowing of the Scarlet King. So she was the odd one. And so for whatever reason, the Scarlet King has been sealed away. And so some believe that if this girl ever gives birth, it'll bring about the return of the Scarlet King. Another tale states that the girl has already given birth, and she gave birth to SCP-999. Which is one of the oddest things within the entire Foundation. SCP-999 is basically like a big blob of jello that spreads happiness and content everywhere it goes. And if it hugs you, it like removes your depression and makes you feel great. And it's like the most lovable thing in existence. And so that tale says that this girl gave birth to that because that creature is the only thing that can counter and defeat the hatred and destruction of the Scarlet King. Again, there's no canon, so it's hard to say whatever you think about that. So that brings us to SCP-2317, which, for the record, the author has stated does not have anything to do with the Scarlet King. You know, there's a lot of misdirection in the Foundation. There's a lot of, even within 2317, there's misdirection, there's false information. So whether or not you want to believe the author, you know, again, you can decide whatever you want to be canon, whatever you want to be true. But the the seven rings, or seven seals, seven rings, seven brides with the Scarlet King sort of appears in 231.7. It's a little different. It appears as seven seals, seven rings, seven thrones for the Scarlet King. But 231.7 is... it's an entity. Basically, there is a door that you walk through and you appear in an alternate dimension. And on the other side, there's basically a circle of seven pillars standing in the middle of like a salt flat. And these pillars represent, or they're underneath the pillars, 100 kilometers below them, there's a spherical space. It's just like this hollow space. And within that hollow space, there is an entity. Basically, it says it's an obese human-like creature of immense proportions. Horns, scales, and there are seven hooks embedded into its back. And each one is connected to a chain, which is connected to one of the pillars. And right now, six of the chains have been broken, and there's only one chain remaining. So they believe that once that seventh chain breaks, this creature will be unleashed and will, again, destroy the world. So the entire article for 231.7 goes through a number of iterations where you get more and more information about this thing. And so the second to last one goes through this whole procedure in order to contain the creature. And it involves sacrificing a chicken and saying different phrases, which includes the seven seals, seven rings. It involves dumping out a mixture of blood and water and saying blood for the old gods, water for the new king. And that has to be performed every day. Otherwise, the chain will break. But then the very next iteration, you find out that that's all made up. You find out that they have no idea how to how to prevent the chain from breaking. And you find out that the chains have been made from the bones of a dead devourer god, so a similar creature. And so unless they can find another creature like this and find its bones and make some new chains, they have no way of repairing the chains or making new chains, and they have no idea how to prevent the seventh one from breaking. So as far as this is concerned, it's just a matter of time before this creature is let loose and dies, or ends the world, destroys the world. So you see there's a lot of similarities between this and the seven brides and the seventh girl giving birth, you know, whether or not that has correlation to a chain breaking. You know, according to the author, there is no relation whatsoever, but there's just too many coincidences for me to just really want to believe that. So again, you know, it depends on your headcanon and what you want to believe, but it's more interesting to me to think that when that girl gives birth, that chain breaks, because they are related and that entity is the Scarlet King. So, you know, again, it's up to you. I just want to inform you of the references here. So that brings us to the second video, which seems to be a conversation between two scientists at one of the sites. The SCP Foundation has a number of sites across the world where they conduct research. They contain different SCPs, different anomalies, and they do experiments and things like that. So it seems to be in some sort of cafeteria or lunchroom. And one of the SCPs mentioned is a Japanese vending machine. So I believe that's SCP-261, which was recovered in Japan. It only takes a yen. And basically you put in a phrase. Oh no, you put in a 3-digit number, I'm sorry. And it will produce a random item. So there's been a number of experiments done on the vending machine. So it can produce stuff like a bag of Cheetos, a can of Diet Coke, certain Japanese candies, things like that. But then it produces stuff that has never existed. Like Pepsi Dragon Twist, which is a can of Pepsi, but with dragon fruit flavoring. Yeah, Dark Side Cola, which is a can of, it's a clear plastic can with clear liquid, but when opened, it reacts to the air and changes to dark black. And then there's some very strange stuff, like pyramids that put in hot water, they open and produce strings. And they give a sharp increase in mineral, carbohydrate, and protein content. There's a box that has animals inside, and then you push a button and it cooks the animals, and you can eat them. It's just strange stuff. I don't think there's much to say here. You can read the 261 experiment log if you want. Then mentioned is SCP-882, and this one's a lot more interesting. Basically, it's just a large collection of metal parts. Gears, cables, pulleys, screws, belts, made from an amalgam of various metals. When it was first recovered, it was 87 cubic meters in size, but they've reduced it to 12 cubic meters. And so they contain it by keeping it in salt water. Because apparently it, if any metal touches it, it will sort of absorb it. And it will grow larger using the new metal. And for some reason, it's extremely tough to like cut into or anything like that. Extreme focused heat must be applied over several hours to cut even a small portion free of the main assembly. And apparently it also sends out a sort of telepathic effect into the surrounding area. Basically drawing people in and convincing them to bring any metal they have in order to feed it to this machine so that it can grow larger. So by itself, it's interesting, but what makes it more interesting is its relation to the Church of the Broken God. So basically, there's a number of SCPs related to this broken god, and it's believed by the Church of the Broken God, that if all of these are brought together, they will reform into the broken god or God, and then it will do something. I'm not sure. Take over the world. It's hard to say. But the Church of the Broken God is devoted to bringing together all of these pieces so that they can reform their god. And so 882 is considered to be the heart. It is the heart of the broken God. And so there are some other ones that are meant to be like the voice of the broken God and the brain of the broken God, things like that. And so that's a pretty interesting sort of subsection of the foundation, of the foundation universe, I mean. So it says at the bottom of 882 that it's not to be brought into the vicinity of SCP-271 or any subject possibly contaminated by SCP-217. So 271, I believe, is like a disc with obscure writing on it. And I think like it, if it touches any metal or anything like that, it like spreads the writing onto it. And so I guess it's believed that once this is all formed, that writing is like an essential part of the broken God, I guess. SCP-217 is, I guess, sort of like a virus. And if you're infected with the virus, your body slowly turns into mechanical components. Like purely just metal components, until you're fully converted. And apparently it's extremely painful and contagious. So that's obviously not something you want to get out. And I guess that's a vital part of the broken God as well. Perhaps, I mean, metal in general is a key component of the entire thing. So perhaps, you know, the entire world needs to be converted to metal. So that's pretty interesting. And then I think the final thing mentioned is SCP-610, right at the end. It's sort of cut off, but I think it's SCP-610, which is called the Flesh That Hates. This is a very lengthy one. I'm not going to fully go into it, but basically it's a disease. It's a contagious disease. And so when you first get it, basically it's sort of a rash. It causes itchiness, things like that. But it quickly breaks out into like big blemishes, spreading across your whole body, and eventually you'll be completely covered in this. And soon after that, you pretty much die. Your life functions cease. But then you're still sort of there because the scar tissue sort of expands out into these growths, and they will sort of seek out other living tissue and to try and cover it as well and infect it as well. And I think they'll seek out warm places. And so I think most of it, the logs and stuff, are from Russia or southern Siberia. And basically there was a huge breakout of this infection. And it was just underground, and it was just covered towns. It's really sort of really nasty stuff. I got the picture at the top is sort of the best showcase here. It's pretty nasty stuff. So I'll let you read the exploratory logs if you're interested in learning more about the Flesh That Hates. It's pretty nasty stuff. It's apparently related to Sarcasm, which is another sort of religion in the SCP universe, sort of related to the concept of flesh and disease, and they have their own god, and there's some relation, rivalry, opposition between the broken god and Sarcasm, and there's a lot more to Sarcasm. I'm not going to get into that because it's not really, I mean, I don't want to go into all that right now. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm very interested in the SCP universe. I've been a fan for quite a while. I wasn't really planning on ever explaining it, just because there's no canon and stuff like that. But with these recent videos, if this has been helpful in sort of understanding what those were about to some extent, at least the references that they mention, if those videos keep popping up, you know, let me know if you want me to make another sort of explaining video. I mean, your guess is as good as mine if they will keep popping up, if this was just sort of a two-time thing or what. But, you know, I do enjoy talking about SCP, so I guess I can be grateful for the opportunity to do one of these. I know this is not my usual format of explaining things, but it's just not really a series that can handle a conventional exploring series. I guess I'll leave you off here. I hope I answered some questions. There's still a lot of questions remaining as far as what the hell's going on with that, but at least I did this. So we'll see what happens from here on out, but keep exploring.